Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this weekly conversation with Kyle. This week, the episode is dedicated to Davey Blackburn, a pastor, a father from Indianapolis, the lead pastor at Resonate Church, and the tragedy that we all need to think about and pray. He needs our prayers. Also, I will get into the GOP debate. Who won? Who lost? My thoughts. Also, things Hillary and other people have said that involve subtext. You need to really think about what they're saying. And those anti-Christmas red Starbucks coffee cups. My thoughts. And also, Jose Mourinho, eyeing Man United job. Lord help me. That and much, much more. The conversation starts now. Romans 28:8. That God works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. I chose that statement today. That scripture, because I want to dedicate this conversation to Davey Blackburn. This goes out to him. If you don't know, Davey Blackburn for 4 years was on staff at the New Spring Church in Anderson, South Carolina, under Pastor Perry Normal. He was a youth pastor, a production director, and assistant campus pastor before the New Spring Church helped Resonate Church plant in 2012. I lived right down the road from where this church is now. I used to live on 82nd Street. Indianapolis is my home. I've lived there. Indiana is my home. And on November 10th, he came home to find that his wife had been shot in the head. She was 12 weeks pregnant. Pastor Davey Blackburn lost his wife and 12-week-old daughter, in an attempted robbery. I used to live in that area. I want to read a statement that he put out, because he needs our support. It's impossible to communicate all the emotions my heart has been forced to process. My wife is such a beautiful, gorgeous, loving woman of God. I have not only lost my ministry partner, my support and my very best friend. There's no way to prepare for the circumstances like this. As deeply as I'm hurting, I hopefully am confident that good things will come of this. I rest in the truth of Romans 28:8, which I said earlier. God works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Thank you for understanding my desire to take these next few days to continue to grieve for Amanda Grace. My focus right now is to let the Lord and to minister to my heart and to continue to shepherd little Westons. I'll be taking this time to focus on being a great follower of Jesus, a dad, a family member, and a pastor of our growing church. Amanda made it her life's calling and served everyone she knew. Even more, she made it her life's mission to see as many people as possible come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. I know in her death and legacy, even more people will come to the saving faith in Christ. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, her desire for me would be to continue what we started in Indy. I hold firm in the belief that God is still good and that He takes our tragedies and turns them into triumphant. And that is the best is yet to truly come. That was an actual statement from Davey Blackburn and his church. He started Resonate Church because he was after the people that didn't go to church. Why don't you go to church? Why don't you? And he wanted to make it a place where anyone felt welcome. If a Bermuda shirt and shorts is what's comfortable for you, fine. If you want to wear a suit, fine. He didn't care. Resonate Church's vision was to connect people to life, change, and see a contagious movement of God's love spread throughout Indianapolis. As a follower of God, you ask yourself, why would God allow somebody to take a mother and a 12-week-old kid? But when you read the Bible, God never says He offers an explanation. He just says He will be there as we grieve. I couldn't imagine losing my partner, my wife. I've lived right down the road. And probably 2 miles away from where that is, I live there. I know Indianapolis, and it just hits home. And that church and Him could use your thoughts and prayers at this time. The Resonate Church's address is P.O. Box 355, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46230. If you'd like to send a letter or anything, encouragement, they could really use that. I never even knew Davey, but we have different mothers, but we have the same father. And if you're a Christian, you know what I mean. And we come together in good times and in bad times. You know, just because you don't know someone doesn't mean you can't be there for them or pray for them. You know, that's what this country was founded on. You know, now, back when I grew up, you need a crib, here you go. I can't use it. My kids are too old now. Now it's, let me see what I can get for it. Let's see if I can sell it. Back in the day, if you outgrew pants, you gave, hey, can you use these? There you go. Merry Christmas. You know, we did for each other. Where's that? What's happened? You know? When you look back at 9/11, Jews helped Muslims and helped Christians. Everyone came together. Why does it take a tragedy to come? Why can't we come together in great times? And everyone runs to God when everything's bad. Run to Him all the time. I mean, the Lord's probably sick and tired of me. I have Him on speed dial some days. But that's okay. That's okay. That's what He's here for. Mm-hmm. Without Him, let me tell you, I wouldn't be here. I should have committed suicide years ago, but Lord had other plans for me. You know, so I can hear all these silly questions that they're asking Ben Carson as I move forward. I want to have someone go up to Hillary Clinton and say, okay, well, would you abort Adolf Hitler? They ask Ben Carson. Someone asked Ben Carson that. I mean, what's funny is supposedly somebody that he's invested in is now was I guess accused of a dental practice where he was charging for stuff that he never did, and they're going after Ben Carson for this and all this crap. I'm like, gee, let me see here. Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State and accumulated $500 million from countries that are not our allies, but who cares? You know, Ben Carson peed his pants in kindergarten and he can't be president now all of a sudden by the liberal media? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, where is the double... there is a double standard, but they don't want to talk about it. You know? It's just crazy. I mean, I guess I've been doing this 12 days of, like, I'm on the 12th day, and you thank, you know, like, whatever, you know, you thank whoever, whatever, however, you know, like, what you're thankful for, and of course, today, I'm thankful for God. And it's just, I don't know where this world's going to, you know. I mean, like, he even, first of all, before Hitler did what he did and took over Germany and ran and you know, became this evil dictator, he wasn't this evil guy. He was like Barack Obama. He wanted change. He was about forward. There's a song. There's actually, you know, like how MSNBC used to have a thing called Forward, you know. And Barack Obama was all about forward and change and all this stuff. And some of these same things that Barack Obama was saying, guess what? They were the same terms Hitler was using. He wasn't an evil dictator that came into power and by force. He came in by giving everyone hope and change.
Sounds familiar,
don't it? Don't lie. Like, I want to get into something later where a lady was on the Fox Business Network, how everything should be free. Well, if you have 1% paying for everyone's college tuition, everyone's health care, everyone's this or that, where do you think? Where's it coming from? Who's paying for it? Well, they don't care. Oh, and if she had millions of dollars, she would give 100% of her taxes away. She really, I don't think so. Whatever. But anywho, I mean, where's this country going? Okay, Ben Carson, I mean, you don't believe in abortion, so you wouldn't abort Hitler? If he would ask me that and I was a presidential candidate, I'd say, well, actually, that makes no sense because Hitler was a great person up until he did what he did. He wasn't a dictator that took over Germany. He was a Barack Obama that wanted hope and change, and we got to move forward. And
Hitler honestly thought that Jews were the reason for the evil of the world.
Yeah.
He thought he was right, like Obama thinks he's right.
Yeah, just like Barack Obama, Hitler thought he was right. He thought Jews were the evil of the world. What's funny is there were some people that he showcased as, what were they, the Aryan, like the whites, like these people were the Aryan nation type people. These are like the pure whites that were going to save the world, and they ended up finding out later that some of those people that he used in propagandas were actually Jewish. And now there's actually, I don't know if you saw this, but I think it's on the History Channel where they're finding Hitler, where they say that there's lots of evidence that he didn't die like they claim, and he may have escaped and probably lived for years later. And there's lots of evidence to back that up. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm going to look into that, and I'm going to report back on what I think about that. And now I want to get into a little bit of the meat and juice of the GOP debate. I thought both debates were extremely well done. It's nice to have actual journalists that actually ask legitimate questions. Not like if you were in a Batman and Robin comic book, what page would you be on and why? You know, they actually ask substantive questions. The GOP, some of the candidates got into each other, and that's going to happen, but it was overall really well done.
They all want to win the presidency, so they each have to be different.
Yeah.
But they are major things that come together.
And the one thing I noticed is when you look at that debate, everyone, I think, is eyeing Trump like, well, if he's this Howard Stern shock jock kind of thing and saying these things that everyone else has been afraid to talk about, and look at what it's doing, they're all trying to, what can I say? Well, I'm going to list like five things I'm going to say so that if he says it before I do, then I'll use this argument and I'll shock him with something that, you know, and I think that's, you know, it's not bad, but I think change, they're finally starting to see that, hey, we're all fed up with the way this is going. I mean, the way I look at it and the way I saw the debate, I think Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina did really well. I think Carly is trying to, she's like that lone wolf out there amongst all the others, and she's trying to, hey, I'm a wolf too. I deserve to be here, and I've run a corporation. I know what it takes, you know. And she's trying to make herself be seen as serious. You know, I mean, Ben Carson, they keep trying to come after him with everything under the sun. Well, in kindergarten, you had Superman undies when you said you had Batman undies on. And that's really relevant now. How? I mean, even the supposed scandal where he was investing money in this dentist that supposedly was charging for procedures he didn't do, that pales into comparison to what Bill and Hillary have done, and that's legit. You know, like that one MSNBC person said, if Sarah Palin was a Democrat, we'd be kissing her butt. Not that she'd change her views or anything. They'd be kissing her butt. You know, you don't treat a Democrat the same way you do a Republican, but there's no bias in the media. You know, I think, but the one thing I think big time is we got to do something about ISIS. But what I see with Jeb Bush is people are going to see, whether they like him or not, well, the first Bush had to go to war. The second Bush had to go to war. Now Jeb Bush has to go to war. They're not, even though we have to do something about ISIS, that's how I view a lot of people will see him. Here's the third Bush, and we got to have a third war. Even though we need to do something about ISIS, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to, I don't want to go to war like anybody, but we got to do something about ISIS. But that's how people are going to view it. Right or wrong, you know, that's how people are going to see it. They're going to say, hey, well, you know, this is what I see. I see the first Bush went to war, the second, and then the third one. And that's how he's going to, I mean, even if Ted Cruz wins the presidency and has to go to war, Ben Carson wins the presidency and has to go to war, that's how it's going to be seen. I mean, good or bad. You know, I think Trump put his foot in his mouth a couple of times. Well, we got to deport all these people, and we got to do this, and you know, and I don't think the crowd looked on that very favorably. But like, how are you going to just sit there and round up 11 million people and just send them all back? Because even some of the, I mean, what they need to do is they need to take, okay, we're going to charge 10% tax on everything that all the money that gets sent to. Like if, like 10% of whatever money you send, like if you send $100, $10 is a tax. You get taxed 10% of the amount of money you send to Mexico. That would solve a lot of problems. Because I've known people that, my dad had people that went all the way up to Chicago to send money to Mexico, and like 3/4 of their paycheck went right down to Mexico. They didn't even stay here. But they're helping our economy. How are they helping the economy when most of their money is going right down to Mexico? But, you know, what do I know? You know, I like Bobby Jindal and things he said. The first debate was really good. And I think they should, what they should probably do is, I think they should have three, they should divide the debates up and have four, groups of four. You know, they can ask the same question in the first debate and the second debate. You know, that way the people have more time to express their concerns or whatever. But in the end, I think the GOP also needs to come together. And they need to say, well, yeah, I support, you know, more of, I need to support this or I support that. And try to look like they're coming together for a common ground. I mean, not that they aren't, but just so that they don't look like they're like, oh, you said, okay, let me see here. Ted Cruz, are you a moron? Are you kidding me? You know, instead of them backfighting each other, they need to come together more. I mean, that's one thing I see, you know. But Trump is still considered, like a lot of people say, he's still a legit, he's someone that's legit. Because a lot of people thought he would just, he would be like a, one of those crazy jacks, those little fireworks that you light and they go, and they do different colors, and you light the thing, and, you know, and 2 seconds later, the thing's out. You know, that's what they thought. He'd be like a 2 second, you know, like a boy having sex for the first time, you know, 2 seconds later, it's over. You know, that's what they thought about Trump. He was just going to be here and gone. And he's like, I'm here to stay, whether I win it or not, you know. I mean, I think the more they try to come after Ben Carson, the more he's not going to back down. He's not going to, he's just going to be like, okay, that's what you think, go right ahead. I'm here to stay. If that's really that big of an issue for you, then Lord help you. Because he's calling out all these things, you know, like, why didn't you question Barack Obama about this and this and this? I mean, these are legitimate issues about his ties to Bel Air and how Reverend Jeremiah Wright married him and Michelle. Oh, but he didn't know him. He had not, you know, all this anti-white rhetoric speech that he was given. Oh, he went to church, but he didn't pay attention. Let me tell you, if I'm going to church and I have kids, I want to know what they believe, what they stand for, what they're about. Amen to that. But, you know, Barack Obama, he just went to church. He didn't listen or anything. I believe that about as much as I can throw the Statue of Liberty. You know how far I can throw that. But hey, what do you know? Know who you're voting for. I don't know if you saw, several years back, they were Trey Parker and Matthew Stone were ridiculed because they were writing a musical. How dare they write a musical? The Book of Mormon. What are they doing in Broadway? Get out of here. And they were mocked and all this. And that has gone on to win like 9 Tonys or something. 7 or 9. It's hugely successful. Hugely. But what do they know about musicals? But the whole episode was about subtext. Basically, if you take your wife to see Wicked or any of these musicals, in the show, it has subliminal messages that basically make women perform certain acts on men. You know, have wild sex and stuff. But you can't hear that. You just see the musical and it's hidden in the subtext. And the reason why I bring that up is you need to look at the subtext of what people say. Like in the one State of the Union address where Barack Obama said, I got a pen and a piece of paper and I don't need any of you Republicans or Democrats. And the Democrats went up and cheered him. I wouldn't be cheering my boss if he said, look at this. I got this computer program and this robot. You're fired. I'm not going to stand up and clap. They did when he said they didn't need him. Hillary Clinton was at a rally and talking about how Democrats, you know, and Democratic rally type thing, and she was at like a town hall thing, and this guy goes, well, you call the Republicans your worst enemy. What do you mean by that? And she basically went on to say that we cannot afford another Republican kind of trickle-down economics, where we give tax breaks to the wealthy and economics where we get out of the way of corporations. Really? She wants the government involved in corporations? Those are her words, not mine. That's why you got to think about what she's saying. She said we cannot have this economic policy that the GOP wants where we get out of the way of corporations. We, meaning the government. I mean, they've run the post office into the ground. The Amtrak's bankrupt. Medicare and Medicaid aren't doing well. But, I mean, the public schools are in the toilet. But, you know, hey, let's have the government run something else. Let's have them be in charge of your mom, pa, bed and breakfast or whatever. I'm not a nanny stater. I'm going to say something that's kind of hard to talk about, but I feel led to say this. In 94, I lost my best friend, Kyle Lee Jones, in a car wreck. He was too drunk to drive, so he let his friend drive. Didn't realize he was drunk. They went up a wire that connects a telephone pole. My one friend hit the steering wheel, sprained his wrist. He lived. My buddy Kyle Jones went through the windshield and was killed. I do not support the mandating of wearing seatbelts. If you don't want to wear a seatbelt, why should the government force you to? Why should the government? If he would have had a seatbelt, he probably would have lived. But the reason why, it's a nanny state issue. Ohio, in like 2009, 2010, got around $27 million from tickets for people that didn't click it. If you don't want to wear a seatbelt, why shouldn't you have to? They save lives. I'm not saying you shouldn't wear a seatbelt. Don't get me wrong, but why should you be forced to by the government? There was a New York senator and congressman that wanted to mandate and put breathalyzer devices in every single car. So every car you buy, no matter who you are, you have to blow into the thing. And if you're at a certain alcohol level, the car won't start. I don't know what those things are called, but they're like breathalyzer ignition starters. And he wanted to make that mandatory so that it doesn't matter if you're a Mormon and don't drink at all. You're still going to have to blow into that breathalyzer to get your car to start. A nanny state issue, you want to have the government dictating how you start your car? And what does that really matter? There was a guy that was a massive drunk driver. I think he lost his license. I'm not sure. And he hadn't lost his license yet. He was in a car with one of those. And he went down to the neighborhood kids and had them blow up balloons and tied them off in a way so that when he would get into his car, he'd take one of those balloons, attach it to that breathalyzer thing, let the air go out, and it would go through the thing and it would register that there was no alcohol, and then start the car. And he was killed. He wasn't killed, but he was in an accident involved. And that's how they found out what he was doing. He bypassed the system. You know, taking and making it harder for me as a legitimate person to get a gun is not going to help keep a criminal from getting a gun in the black market. But that's what they want to do. They want to, you know, the government hasn't done anything, in my opinion, to help. So why trust them with anything? But, what do I know? You know, I'm not a nanny state person. I don't want to have the government telling me what I have to do. You shouldn't have to be forced to put on a seatbelt or pay a $25 fine. If you don't want to wear one, that's your own problem. Like I always say, know what people stand for. Know what people are about. Yeah. That's why when you listen to the GOP debates and listen to the Democratic debates, listen to what they say and what they and try to interpret what they mean. Because that's crucial. Because you'll find a lot of people cheering for things that they really have no idea. Like I said last week, when those Hillary supporters were like, well, she's going to run on the promise of taking inner city areas and making them go under Sharia law. I guarantee you, all but that one girl that said, I don't really know what it is, so I'm not going to comment. They just said, yeah, I support that. And they don't even know what it means. That's ignorance. It's like they've had people go around and basically had people sign a petition that when you look at it, it told them that they want to get rid of the Bill of Rights. You know, it's not a Bill of Needs, it's a Bill of Rights, because I get people all the time, well, what do you, so you want, let me see here, you need an AK-47, why do you need one? And I always say it's not a Bill of Rights. It is. It's not a Bill of Needs. But hey, you know, when they came up with the right to bear arms, all there was military weapons. There was no distinction between like petty homemaker weapons. But hey, what do I know? It's just amazing when you see people that will say yes to something without even really realizing what they're saying yes to. That's why I always tell people, listen carefully to what they say. We cannot have these economics where we get out of the way of corporations. And then the way they just keep coming after Ben Carson for makes no sense. I don't get it, but I don't get it. But then again, I'm the type of person that will spend $92 on craft supplies to make something I could buy for $7. But then, hey, I like to do that because, hey, at least I know it's where it came from and I made it. And there was a lady, as I move on, I was on Neil Cavote's show on Fox Business Network, and how we need to have free college and free this and free that. Well, the 1% of the country, they should pay for everything. Well, this 1% says that they should pay for healthcare. This 1% says college. This 1%. So where do you think all this money is going to come from? Because if you take like 100% of, if you tax 100% of the 1%, that's the super wealthy, that's it's about like $1 trillion. That would pay for, college for like 3 years, maybe, if you're lucky, you know. All these people think they're entitled to, well, the Constitution guarantees that I won't be offended. I need to have a safe area where I can go and you can't make fun of me, you can't say anything, judgment-free area, basically. The Constitution says I should be given everything. I shouldn't have to work for anything. I want to see, you wouldn't have lasted 2 seconds when you came over here. They didn't have anything. You wanted a place to live, you had to cut down trees and build it. Where did we go from a nation of ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, to a nation of ask not what you can do for your country, but what they can give you.
Because the country owes me everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just the blacks that think they're owed something because their ancestors were slaves. It's all these whites and all these
20 and 30 year olds.
Yeah, it's the 20 and 30 year olds that just think they need to be owed everything. And it's sad. To me, it's a satisfaction of knowing, hey, that's sporn, I made it. It's not perfect, but hey, I did it. It's my first one. If I ever make another one, I'll probably get better. Because I went online on YouTube and I couldn't find many videos on it, but I found like an old one with no sound from like the 40s or something, like black and white. But I mean, the cost in that was to buy the leather I needed. It was like $60 by the time I got the leather, and I had to buy this one piece, and it was buy one, get one free. Or is it your buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one half off, or something? Like, no, it's buy one, get one free. So I had to get two. And when it was all said and done, I mean, I was hoping to find somebody that had like enough scraps I needed for like cheap, but I ended up having to go to this leather outlet and get stuff. And so I got a bunch of leather left so I can make a holster or something out of it. But, you know, I mean, but it was just that I didn't realize what it would take. Now I know why they cost a lot of money. But hey, you know, lesson learned. But you know what? I did it myself. I didn't rely on Pete. And well, someone owes me. You know, I've never had that mentality. And I don't know where people get it these days, but they think that the government owes them everything. You know, Donald Trump, what he has because he's busted his butt. So has Glenn Beck. So has Rush Limbaugh. So has Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. Apple wasn't a billion-dollar corporation. They started out in the garage with a vision and a dream. You know, what do you think would happen if Martin Luther King said, I have a dream that the government owes me everything? No. He had a dream that we are all equal and we all have the same rights given to us to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, and to make whatever, you know, if you want to become successful, you should have the same rights no matter what you are, man, woman, black, white, Indian, whatever. But now we have this whole nation of, oh, I'm owed. You owe me. See, I shouldn't have to pay for college.
My dad would have, I don't know what he would have done if I would have said that to him. No.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You work.
Yeah, you work. Now we're going to move on to the evil atheist Starbucks and their evil, evil red holiday cup. That do not have Christmas on it anywhere. Those heathens. Where is Tipper Gore and the PMRC? Go after him, Tipper Gore. Come on. They're Satanists. Because they have red cups that represent blood of the devil. Really, folks? Because they had a post on Facebook about that. And I put on there, I'm like, so I guess I'm going to be very disappointed because they're not selling my favorite blend that they serve, Christmas blend. They're not doing the Christmas blend this year or the Advent calendars. And what happened the next day? The Blaze put on there a picture of the Starbucks 2015 Christmas blend. End of story. But I honestly think that that could have been a Starbucks person that did that because look at how much publicity they're getting out of it. They're getting tons of free publicity because everyone's talking about a stupid red cup because it doesn't have doves or snowflakes. What does a snowflake have to do with Christmas anyways? Nate, so what, are we not going to have snowflakes? Because it might offend us. We're going to go to that South Park Christmas where the non-denominational, non-offensive holiday experience by Millis composer Philip Glass. This is awful. This is horrible. Bum, 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 bum. You know, that's what we're getting to. A 25,000 page book of everything that, the Constitution doesn't guarantee you're never going to be offended. The separation of church and state was to guarantee you freedom of religion, to worship where you want to, anywhere, so that the government doesn't run the church. Not have to go to court. Well, I'm sorry, you were praying outside, sir, and we can't have that because that was a courthouse and you can't pray on the property.
We're going to keep it up until there's another civil war.
Oh, I know. I don't get it. I just don't. I don't get it. You know, the cups at Starbucks aren't that appealing to me. I'm not like, ooh, wow, you know, but still. I never thought anti-Christmas. I just looked at them like, well, were they trying to save money because the cups with decorations on them would be more expensive? I don't know. I honestly think it was probably an inside job because look at how much free advertising they're getting out of it. That's how I look at it. You know, heck. I mean, because the more controversies or little stupid things that they find about Ben Carson that come up, guess what happens? It's just more publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it's really doing, as I kind of move forward into what I want to kind of come together with all this, they're starting to realize how ridiculous the media is. For the people that actually watch it, I mean, like I said before, and this is one question I asked the GOP. I said, how do you get these people that, who'd you vote for? I vote for Barack Obama. Well, who's his running mate? John McCain. Well, you voted for Barack Obama. Yeah, I did. I can ask you a question. So you think Sarah Palin was a good choice as a running mate? I think we need a woman in there. I think she'll do a great job. Okay, this person already voted. And he can't even say who he voted for the running mate is? That's wrong. It's just ridiculous. But that's the one thing I would ask the GOP. How do you reach someone like that? I'm voting for Hillary. I don't care. I don't want to see the video of her killing 50 million people. That's just fictitious. It's not. But I don't want to see. I don't care. I'm voting for her. Nothing you're going to tell me. Nothing you're going to show me. It's going to change my view. I don't care. How would you get someone like that?
Make them take a test.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. Oh, so I see. So you're like racist against like Mexicans because you want to have a test only in English that they might not be able to read. Well, you know what? Pucker up, buttercup, because when my ancestors came here from Poland, it was English or you couldn't read it. They didn't sit there, okay, well, we're going to have our Polish translator here write this all out for you and type it out in Polish just for you so you can understand it. And, okay, now anybody do, okay, you're from Germany, okay, so, yes, by tomorrow we should have a bunch of these typed up in German for you. No, it was English or you didn't. My mom tells me stories of a lady that was like, I guess, an aunt or something a long, long time ago that would be in the house that was wearing all black and would speak in a language my mom couldn't understand because they didn't know enough English and they didn't speak their native tongue outside of the house. You were shunned if you spoke. Now it's the other way around. Now it's like you're shunned if you speak English if you're from a different country. Okay, Welcome to America. Okay, excuse me, sir. I came to your country. You have to follow my rules and what I believe because I came here. Not the other way around. I'm not. You know, I want to see some of these Democrats go to a different country and try to force them to obey by their beliefs and their rules that they want. Like my mom always said, my grandma said the same thing. When in Rome, do as the Romans. Not in this country. You gotta comply to any belief and whatever because you know you can't wear a Christian shirt because that might offend someone that doesn't believe in that. And though you have a country that has freedom of religion, you can't offend anyone because Lord help you. I do want to say this though. I don't want to forget this. Melissa Click, I don't know if you remember her. She was that journalist that was from Missouri University, MU University, and she was the one that was telling, I need help, we need to get this guy out of here and all this. Well, she's actually sent out statements, and she goes, I regret the language and strategies I used, and I sincerely apologize to the MU campus and community she has resigned, to some of the journalists that she got confronted. She actually apologized and said it was wrong, and I think it's a step towards ending this politically correct stuff. I think it's one small seed that hopefully we can plant that people will wake up and say, hey, you know what? I want you to have, you should be, like, there was a lady that was videotaping, and I don't know if she's white or black or whatever, but she went to, it says, white advocate for Black Lives Matters tears the Confederate flag sticker off truck and replaces it. I hate Barack Obama, but I'm not going to go up to someone's car and take a Barack Obama sticker off their car. They have the right to support whatever they want. Like I've said all along, if you want to vote for Hillary, great. I'm glad I have people from all different sides of the aisle that listen to my program. And if you want to vote for it, great. Just know who you're voting for. Know what she stands for. Know what her record is. Know who her vice president is. So that you're an educated person. I don't support Barack Obama, but if they want to have a, I don't support Fox News bumper sticker, great. I'm not going to take it off your car. I may laugh at you, but I'm not going to take it off your car because you have the right to believe what you want to believe. Okay? Why don't they put up Hanukkah stuff near a nativity scene? That way you can't say, well, you're only pushing one religion. You know, put like a Star of David or something near it. I don't think I've ever heard anyone.
I've never heard a Jewish person. They don't complain about
this. Yeah.
It's the other people.
Yeah. I have friends that say like I have friends that I say Happy Hanukkah to, and they say Merry Christmas to me. They don't sit and go, I'm not going to say Merry Christmas because that's going to offend me. They know I believe in Christmas and they believe in Hanukkah. I'll sometimes go, well, how's your Hanukkah bush coming? You know? I mean, I'm not going to take a stick off of someone's car. It's just wrong. Because it's like you want to, it's like when they talked about, oh, we need, like, I can't believe Fox News is allowed to stay on the air and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, they have freedom of speech, I assume. We're not North Korea yet. I just want to go to some of those liberals and say, yeah, well, go to a liberal person's house. Yeah, we're here from the government. We're going to put in a radio system. What it's going to do, ma'am, you're not going to be able to turn this off. You're going to have to leave it. You can't shut it off. It's going to be on. You can turn it down, but not off. And it's just going to play liberal propaganda all day long, 24/7, streaming, just like North Korea. I mean, that's what you want, since you want the government involved in every aspect of your life because you're liberal. At least some of them do. You know, it's like, I guess I look at it like this. My buddy Kyle Jones might be alive today. I was wondering, what if I was there? Could I have done anything? If he had a seatbelt on? Okay, well, they want to mandate that you have to wear a seatbelt. These laws may sound great and wonderful, but it's only a matter of time before they get to a law that, or they do something that affects something you care about. I don't support smoking, but you know, I don't want to ever keep someone who enjoys it from smoking. If they want to smoke and they know all the dangers of it, then they go right ahead. Why should the government be forcing you to do what they want? It's like in New York, there's a huge underground market because what they're doing is they're going to this Indian reservation and they're buying tobacco and cigarettes where the taxes aren't there, and they're buying them for like a quarter of the price, and then they're selling them at the $12, $13 a pack in New York. They're drug carteling it, basically. Well, if I can buy a pack of cigarettes for $4 on this Indian reservation and then sell them for the $13 a pack that everyone else has to, because with the tax and the sin tax and all this stuff added onto it, to try to curb people who smoke from smoking or whatever, because my point is, the government knows better than you, and that's what a lot of people want in this country.
I'm never cooking with them. Especially, you know, butter for me. No.
You know, I'm a vegetarian, but I'm not going to force anyone. If you want to go that way, great. I can help you choose that lifestyle. But I'm never going to, if you want to eat bacon, you should be able to eat all the bacon you want.
Amen.
You should. And this notion that now all of a sudden the World Health Organization says it might cause cancer. I wonder how many people have gotten cancer that they can link it to bacon. Because what is bacon? Pork belly that has salt and seasonings on it, and it is cured until it's basically dried out. That's it. But it's supposedly processed, so.
Bacon is delicious, right?
And no one, even vegetarians are like, so what, you know? I mean, some hardcore people are like, well, see, that's what you get if you eat bacon. I'm like, well, psst. Okay, you show me one case where they can directly link bacon to cancer. I don't think they'll find it. And I'm practically a vegan. You know, I do eat dairy and some eggs, but, you know, other than that, but I don't, like, my wife, she's a carnivore, but I'm not ever going to change her.
Nope.
That's the point. I support mercy for animals and, like, some things about PETA, but I'm against them trying to do anything. I hate when a group tries to force people into doing something. You can say, hey, this is how I live. This is a better way to eat if you want to. I guess this is what I tell my sister. I want you to know what you're eating. Okay, if you're going to eat a cow, know where it's processed. Know how it's handled. Know if the thing's had a knife taken and stabbed in the side of the cow 7 times while it's still alive. Because that can produce bacteria that could be deadly. Make sure you just, if you're going to get eggs, know where your eggs come from. Know how they're processed, how they're handled. Know the quality. That's it. Don't give up. Just know where your food comes from. And I want to get into the last bit of news here. Jose Mourinho, Manchester United's new manager. Well, that's what he's eyeing for. I guess he is eyeing the job. And I guess there's a lot of fans, not me, that don't like Van Gaal. Well, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson wasn't perfect when he started out. But guess what? He turned them around. So was Van Gaal. I mean, what is it here? Attacks win games. Defense wins titles. Alex Ferguson. No team has kept more clean sheets across Europe's top 5 leagues this season than Man United. 8. Louis van Gaal is a great man. He's doing a great job, and I will be in the toilet throwing up if they ever got rid of him and they took Jose Mourinho. What is Chelsea? 15th? Damn, they're 16th. Well, you know what? I'm not going to answer this question. I'm not going to answer that. Oh, but if you win a game, you're going to be all there. Yeah, well, you know, 35-minute press conference, you know, entertaining people. But when you're down on your luck, you know, the last game they played, he was barred from the stadium. I don't want him. We got a good manager. I don't know why people think that they want to have, like, they think that, you know, well, years ago, we were, like, unbeatable. Yeah, we were. When we had a manager that had been there for a long time, they had a learning curve. You're not going to have another Alex Ferguson. I don't think you're going to have another guy that's going to be at a Manchester United for 20-some years. You're never going to have another Vince Lombardi. He was incredible. If you're going to, well, we need to find a coach until we get another Vince Lombardi.
There's Sparky and yes, there's
yeah,
be
yeah,
one.
And but that's what they want. I think they just want all this stuff. I guess they just want to get back to the old days where it's not if we win, it's by how much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but I mean, he is doing incredible. You know? I mean, what do you expect? Like, oh, I mean, what if he, so, are you, I don't know. Like, 1 year, well, I think it's the second year. He should win the Champions League, the FA Cup, the Premier League. Oh, 1 year? Really? I don't know. We got a great team, a great manager, and he's, and that's why a lot of these people that used to play for him, you know, like Van Nistelrooy and some of these other players, he's got a plan. He knows what he's doing. Give him time. They gave Sir Alex Ferguson time, and look at what he did. It's not going to help anything if you just get rid of him, ASAP. Oh, wait. You know, even if they didn't take Jose Mourinho, just getting rid of him, I think would be a bad, it would be a bad mistake. He's got the players he wants. I think we need another good striker, good midfielder, and I think we're good. Van Gaal believes like Alex Ferguson in taking within, taking people and giving them shots, giving the youngsters, the under-21ers, getting them up there and playing them. And he's had some success. He's had some goals out of it. He's an incredible manager. And to see him, you know, and even if they did get rid of him, Ryan Giggs should get the first shot, which I hope it doesn't come to that until Van Gaal retires. You know, whether he stays 5 years, I hope Van Gaal leaves on his own terms, not, well, we didn't get a Champions League and a Premier League and an FA Cup in 2 years. Bye. And I hope they don't do that. But you know, I'm not that fan that thinks like that. Got about a minute 10 seconds left. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. I just want to remind you that this show was dedicated. 60 seconds left to Davey Blackburn. Please keep his family and that church, Resonate Church, in your thoughts and prayers. And if you want to send them a thinking of you card or anything, the P.O. Box number is 30515 Indianapolis, Indiana 46230, and it's Resonate Church. Just keep them in your prayers. That family really needs it. I want to thank you all for tuning in. It's been an incredible week, and God is always great. And until next week, folks, goodbye, and God bless. And keep Davey in your prayers.